If John Martorano had not become a professional killer, he might have been a star football player, having reportedly turned down 7 full scholarships after graduating from Milton High in 1959. Instead, he followed his father Luigi into organized crime, working for the Patriarca family and the Winter Hill Gang. Born in 1940, by 1960 he had graduated from altar boy to wise guy, hanging out in Boston's famed Combat Zone, an adult entertainment district that thrived on prostitution, drugs, human trafficking, and illegal gambling, and control through violence.
I think he just fell into the sway of the Combat Zone.
Boston Herald columnist Howie Carr, a hostile defense witness in the Bulger trial, wrote a book with Martorano titled Hitman: The Untold Story of Johnny Martorano.
You know, his father had this place, Luigi's. It was an upstairs place. He owned it with A.B. Sarkis, you know, the famous gambler in Boston. And Johnny just liked hanging around there. And that's it was the bright lights of the Combat Zone that attracted him.
Besides his father, one of his teachers in the ways of organized crime was Stephen Flemmy, who in the early 60s was a small-time hood rising through the ranks of the Winter Hill Gang. Martorano's first hit was on a Patriarca associate who was reportedly planning to testify in a murder case. The hitman, who would also become known as the Cook, the Executioner, and the Basin Street Butcher, was 24 years old. Decades later, after leaving prison, in an interview with Steve Croft on CBS's 60 Minutes, Martorano said he might be a killer, but he was neither a hitman nor a maniac.
The hitman is that sounds to me like somebody's getting paid a paid contract. I mean, you could never pay me to kill anybody.
A lot of people would say you're a serial killer.
I might be a vigilante, but not a serial killer. Serial killers, you have to stop them, they'll never stop. And they enjoy it. I never enjoyed it.
Still, Martorano had a fearsome reputation as a hitman. He was the killer that killers called on to get the job done, according to testimony taken during the trial of former FBI agent John Connolly, Bulger and Flemmy's longtime protector. Here's Howie Carr.
The defense attorney for Connolly says, well, you took $50,000 for wiping out the Indian Al gang. And he says, well, no, we took it for expenses. And it would have been disrespectful to Jerry Angiulo, the head of the mafia, not to take the money.
And to kill, Martorano was willing to go considerable distances if necessary, including traveling to Tulsa, Oklahoma in May 1981, where he put a bullet in the head of World Highlight owner Roger Wheeler. Wheeler had discovered a skimming operation taking place under his own roof connected to Whitey Bulger. The hitman, who was the prosecution's star witness in the Bulger trial, was as brazen a killer as he was methodical. In the interview with Steve Croft on 60 Minutes, Martorano described a hit in Medford.
I mean, on one occasion, you walked into a crowded bar and shot somebody in broad daylight.
Correct.
With the policeman across the street.
Correct.
That's pretty confident.
Well, I felt confident. You could put a disguise on and you just to get to feel invisible.
Do you remember what the disguise was?
I had a yellow hard hat, a white meat cutter's coat, full length, and a beard and mustache and sunglasses.
What'd you do afterwards?
I went home and changed, back to work.
Some of Martorano's victims are rarely recalled. Some were mobsters caught in a gang war. Others were caught in the wrong place at the absolutely worst time. 3 lost their lives here on Normandy Street on the Roxbury-Dorchester line in 1968. Their deaths took place against the backdrop of Boston's deepening racial anxieties. On a cold night in January, Flemmy got into a bar fight in the South End with an African American. Flemmy lost. He dispatched Martorano, who eventually tracked a man named Herbert Smith to Dorchester. Martorano, using a .38 caliber snub-nosed revolver, put a bullet in Smith, but he also killed Smith's passengers, 17-year-old Douglas Barrett and 19-year-old Elizabeth Dixon. After news of the murders leaked out, Martorano was given a new nickname by fellow gangsters, sickle cell anemia, a sometimes fatal disease that strikes African Americans. In 1978, Martorano fled Massachusetts to skirt a race-fixing indictment. He resurfaced in Florida while still working for the mob. The Boston Globe unmasked Whitey Bulger as an FBI informant in 1988. 11 years later, Martorano, after his arrest in Florida, made a deal with Massachusetts, Oklahoma, and Florida to turn state's evidence against his former boss. But Martorano insists he's not a rat.
I gave him back what he gave everybody else.
You became an informer?
No, I became a government witness, not an informant or a rat. He became a government witness.
What's the difference?
One's got the courage to stand on the stand. The other one's doing it behind your back and dropping dimes. And if I'm, how can I be ratting on a guy who's the rat for 30 years? I'm trying to stop him from ratting anymore.
Retired State Police Colonel Tom Foley investigated Whitey Bulger for decades, and last week he took the witness stand to explain how he cultivated the prosecution's star witness, John Martorano. Reporters outside the courthouse asked Foley why he cut a deal with a man who murdered 20 people over several decades and served only 12 years in prison, an average of 7 months for each victim.
In that case there, Bulger and Flemmy and the rest of those guys would have been out in the street in a few years. We wouldn't uncover the police corruption, law enforcement corruption, and we wouldn't have been able to bring back those bodies to the families.
Since his release, Martorano has expressed remorse for only one killing, the murder of 19-year-old Elizabeth Dixon in Roxbury. How will the jury in the Whitey Bulger trial view this conundrum? Testimony from a man who admitted to murdering 20 people versus a man accused of murdering one just shy of 20.
I don't think it's going to sell over the 2 or 3 months of the trial.
Howie Carr.
They went after Martorano because he has more credibility than Steve Flemmy. As the trio, there's Weeks, Martorano, and Flemmy. Flemmy has been dusted up in the past. He's told a million different stories. Martorano has been solid throughout the two Zip Connolly trials. He has never been dented.
Martorano's testimony comes in the early stages of a trial that's expected to last beyond Labor Day. By calling him to the witness stand now, the government seems to be making an effort to create distance between an unsavory star witness and the jury's conclusion to this high-stakes legal drama. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.